and your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the son of the carpenter? Is not his mother named Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters all here with us? Where did this man get all of this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and in his own house." And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today the Church celebrates the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. This feast was established 63 years ago by Pope Pius XII. Because in Europe, Labor Day in many places is May 1st, and in communist countries, May Day was the time in which they celebrated the whole communist approach to work. And for both reasons, Pope Pius XII wanted to leaven those occurrences with the gospel. And the greatest evangelist of the gospel of work who has ever lived is St. Joseph. So despite the fact that on May 19th we celebrate the just man whom God the Father chose to raise his son Jesus to be a man according to Jesus' humanity, despite the fact that we celebrate his many virtues, how he protected the Holy Family, how he loved the Blessed Virgin Mary as a most chaste spouse, today we celebrate in a particular way his virtue of work. We seek to learn from him how to live our work. In St. Joseph, we see that his work was totally centered on the Lord and done for the Lord. He did it together with Jesus, but he also did it for Jesus. And as he was teaching Jesus how to build chairs and tables and houses, Jesus, through that cooperative work, was building up the kingdom of God. One of the most important things for us to grasp in life is how to pray our work. Even with our typical oraria, where we have time for the liturgy of the hours, we make time for Mass, even a longer Mass than most people have. When we have time for our adoration and our mental prayer, time for the rosary, when you add it all up, it's still far less than the amount of time we spend working. Most of us, if you look over the course of our life, and not just priests and religious, but every person, when you look over the course of life, spending 40 hours plus working for 40 or 50 years or more, we will spend more time working than almost any activity, except for most people, present company excluded, sleeping. So we have to do it well. We have to learn how to do it well. If Jesus tells us to pray always, we've got to learn how to pray our work, because we're constantly working. If Jesus articulates that it is key for us to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to learn how to love God, ourselves, and our neighbor as we work. And to be honest, sisters, the Church doesn't excel in giving that type of formation. We'll teach people how to pray. We'll teach people about the sacraments. Teach people about the commandments, but we generally don't teach people how to work as St. Joseph worked, with God and for God and for others in God. Today in the first reading from the book of Genesis, we see how God created man in his image, the divine image he created him, male and female. When we look at the Imago Dei over the course of time, for most of the centuries it was focused on how we resemble and participate in God's mind and in his will. That just as God thinks, so we think differently than animals would more or less seem to be thinking, where the philosophers always said it's a totally different thing that they're doing. Just as God chooses, so we choose. Over the course of time, the Imago Dei grew. St. John Paul II said that the greatest thing we could say about the Imago Dei is that God is a communion of persons in love, and therefore, that's why he created man in his image and likeness, male and female, not just as two different versions of man, but to exist together in a communion of love that can constantly generate a third person. Scott Hahn has tried to popularize the image of God as our entering into Christ, the definitive icon of the Father. That the more we become sons in the Son, the more we truly become God's image. But one of the things that has never really been developed, and it deserves to be, is that God works. And we have been created in his image working. If you look at John 5:17, you'll see Jesus in one of those hostile dialogues with the Pharisees in the temple say, "My Father is working still, and I am working." The Father works always. The Father's constantly working out his plan of salvation. And we have been created in that image of God. Today here, we see four aspects of the Father's work that he's created us for. First, he's created us in love, and that's why he says, "Be fruitful and multiply." He himself brings the potential out of creation. And so he says, "Fill the earth and subdue it." He exercises lordship over his creatures. So he says, "Have dominion, share in my work as dominus over others." But then similarly we see that part of God's cycle of work is similarly rest. He rested on the seventh day. And that wasn't an absence of something. That was a choice to do a different type of work. Not so much activity, but letting the activity go in order to focus on other things. And when we're created in image and likeness, we need to have that same cycle. The issue for many in human life is that we try to flip things around rather than, for example, a pattern of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, in which both are important. We try to permanently rest because we look at work as something that alienates us. After the fall, as we know, this vocation of work that God gave us before original sin was in a sense corrupted. To be fruitful and multiply would now come with the pains of childbirth. To have dominion would come some of the times when those who were supposed to be obeying would turn and attack, like savage beasts. To fill the earth and subdue it would only take place with toil and the sweat of the brow. But the vocation remained and became part of the redemption, because it was through our work that we would be able, precisely now, with duress, to show our love for God, our love for others, and our deep love for ourselves. Because as we work, we not only do something, but we form ourselves. Which is why St. Gregory of Nyssa would always say that we are our own parents through how we form ourselves in our work. How do we pray our work at a very practical level? There are a few things. The first is to know that God cares about our work. it matters to him, and that all work is in some degree part of his great plan. Sometimes our work is going to be well known, it's going to put us under a spotlight. Most times it won't. But just as Jesus says to us every Ash Wednesday, when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms, do it for the Father, essentially, and your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. All the more in our work, that most of our work will be secret. But the Father sees it. It's meant to be pleasing to him. Yesterday I received a beautiful fraternal correction. It wasn't, I think, intended that way. But from Anna Fata, whom you've met, who's my assistant. You know, we had been working on the visit of the President of the General Assembly with Pope Francis yesterday. And I had sort of done everything with the advance man for the PGA for that trip. Sent something over last Tuesday to Archbishop Gunsvine's office, who's the prefect of the papal household, and he arranges all of those formal visits with heads of state and other important personages with the Holy Father. On Thursday, we get something that they just hadn't processed it right in the office, that they hadn't received it. So we sent it over again, and the advance man wanted to meet with one of their people to just get all the details set, because they were a little nervous meeting the Holy Father. It was the first time going through all of this. And so I just highlighted that in the email I sent with the PDF of what we had sent over 2 days before. All day Friday, the advance man waits, and he starts calling over. They're not even answering the phone. They're not picking up the fax. They're not responding to any of the emails. Same thing on Saturday, same thing on Sunday. So up until yesterday morning, they didn't even know what the protocol was going to be, because everybody over there blew it. You know, at a basic level, terribly embarrassing for the Holy See in general, for Archbishop Bowser, for me. They intend that we've got our act together, and how shameful it is when we don't. But as I was complaining about it, Anna said to me, you know, God knows that you did everything right. I said, yeah, but suppose he does. Why were we doing the work? We're not just doing it here. We're ultimately doing it for the Lord, and we need to keep that in mind. Second, I think, principle is that our work will either alienate us or it'll sanctify us. But our initial attitude is so central. That passage from John 10:18 can apply to our work. No one takes my life from me, I freely lay it down. When we're given work to do, especially work that we find somewhat onerous, we can approach it with two dispositions. First disposition, resentment. Second disposition, excitement. I was taught by one of my spiritual directors, who himself had to do a lot of work for a large period of his life, that when one day when I was complaining about the workload and how it was impacting my sleep, he just simply said, Raj, when you have a lot of work to do, just say an act of thanksgiving to the Lord for giving you so much work to sanctify. And that attitude has impacted me ever since, that rather than complain, when we see that we've got a lot of work to pray, it changes our whole attitude. Third thing about work, in order to be able to pray it effectively, is to be assisted by praying work for specific intentions. How many people ask us to pray for them? How do we? Sometimes what can happen is we just group them all together and we pray for all those intentions given to us, and it's good to pray and God remembers. But we can take them one by one for a particular project or for a particular hour of work, however it's structured, so that we're offering up that work for that particular intention. And at least for me, sisters, when I do that, I work so much better, because now I know, even if it's done in secret, that it matters. And if it's hard, I have a deep sense that God sees even that suffering in work, as a fitting sacrifice offered for that particular intention. To always have intentions as we work, so that we're doing it concretely for someone. Fourth thing I'd say in terms of loving God is that we need to make the intention that we're doing it for God. So often the devil tries to alienate us from our work because we forget that our work matters in God's plan. And when we begin whatever work we're doing, however small, and we recognize that we want to offer this to God as the sacrifice of Abel, it changes what that work's about. We do it with a different spirit. We put love into it, and it matters because we know God sees. Likewise, fifth point, to keep in mind that no matter what work we do, someone will profit from it, even if it's secret. I was a priest early in my priesthood in a Portuguese-speaking parish in Fall River, and many of our parishioners worked in factories, textile factories, making things, and they were just, in some cases, one small piece along an assembly line, making buttons or fixing them or something else like this. It's much different than the help services, right? I mean, if you're meeting with people face to face, you're able to get immediate reaction. A lot of the times you're just at this one spot with very little interaction all day long. We can think about those who work in Amazon packing factories today, just working in their little cubby hole, putting things in boxes, for example, or whatever else. It's so important for us in those circumstances to recognize that somebody's going to be wearing that shirt with that button. And if the button breaks, if it doesn't come off, it's going to matter to that person. It might happen in a job interview. It might happen at a wedding. Similarly, somebody's going to be using that package. And if it comes damaged, what an inconvenience that will be. But to always remember that whatever we do, somebody's going to be using it. It helps it to become far more an act of love for others that can transform us in the loving. The last thing I'll say today is if we're going to pray our work and sanctify it as it ought to be done, we have to link it to the liturgia, to the public work of the mystical body together with the bridegroom. One of the reasons why Jesus imitates the Father in working still is the work of salvation is continuous. And it happens here as we pray in Eucharistic Prayer 3, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. There is this one perpetual act of love, this work of Christ for our salvation and the salvation of the world. And this work isn't merely his. But as we pray at that offertory, it's his gift in the work of human hands. Our work's supposed to flow from the Eucharist and lead back to the Eucharist. Flow from the Eucharist. Jesus begins our day by giving us himself so that we can learn how to work with him throughout the entirety of the day, with him on the inside, strengthening us. But it's also meant to be directed back toward the Eucharist, where we come with calloused hands, drop on the paten all the works that we have done, and lift it up to the Father as part of that prayer from the rising to the setting of the sun, from the work with which we begin the day to the work from which we rest at the end of the day, that it's all meant to be part of this one great prayer that lasts forever. Today, in the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, pondering his work, we ask him as patron and foster father of the church to take us into his shop, to teach us the virtues of real Christian work, so that after our life, we might with him rest forever in that place where the Father continues to work, making us more and more His image. Praise be Jesus Christ.